understanding of how did we get here. And as I started off by speaking about carelessness, it was carelessness that caused Jerusalem to be in the situation that they were in. Here's the reason why. Throughout the scriptures, one of the things that God consistently said to the children of Israel is, I want you to be careful. And what did God tell them to be careful to do? God have consistently told the Israelites, I want you to be careful to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so God has laid out his commandment through his prophets, throughout his word. You will find time and time again, God consistently tell the Israelites that you need to be careful to obey, to do exactly as I have asked you. If you don't do it, there is going to be terrible repercussions. And one of those repercussions that you will face for not obeying the word is one day there is going to come a time where I am going to scatter you all over the nations. And so God did that. And the Israelites during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they were in exile. Nebuchadnezzar came in and he tore down the walls in Jerusalem. And he marched in there, and what he did is he captured some of the people, and he brought them back home to his land. And so what happened was after that, then there became a time when they were brought back from captivity into Israel after over 70 years have passed. So it's been a long time that they have been in captivity. And so they slowly started bringing back some of the remnant back into Jerusalem. However, they brought them back home, and the walls were still broken down, and the walls were still damaged. So they really had no home. They were in shame because our walls have been broken down, and we have no home back to go to. And besides that, in Jerusalem was where lie the temple of God. So it was the place of worship for the Jewish believers. And so they didn't even have a place that they could worship because all of that were torn down. So there are numerous people that have attempted to bring back the people. And some of those people are like Ezra. And then there is Nehemiah who is coming back. And then there is one other person, and I can't think of the name right away. But they started this journey of bringing the people back from exile back into their homeland. And so here is Nehemiah. Nehemiah at this time, he has never visited Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, he was one that was born in captivity. So he never seen Jerusalem, never been there. So he doesn't know much. The only thing that he knows is what have been handed down from generation to generation. And so Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And he starts off by saying, listen, it is in the month of Kislev. Now, this is important to understand because the month of Kislev is the month between November and December. So this is close to the winter time, as we would say, that this thing happened. And Nehemiah, he went and he saw his brothers. And verse 2 says, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other man, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile. What you're going to find is that Nehemiah demonstrated tremendous leadership in bringing back the Israelites into their homeland and rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Now, how did he do that? Here's the first thing that Nehemiah did. The first thing that Nehemiah did is he had a concern for the broken walls. He had a concern for the broken walls. Now, how was he concerned? Take a look what he says. He asked the brothers from Judah, how about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile? So the first thing that he began to do is he began to inquire about their health and their well-being. He wanted to know what was going on with them. And coming from another country and living here in the United States, we experience this all the time. A lot of times, my mom, I would speak to my mom who is here, or my brothers, and because I'm I was born and raised in Jamaica. I left Jamaica when I was 12 years old, so that was just about 10 years ago. Why are you guys laughing? Oh, anyways, that was some time ago. So I came here when I was 12 years old, but every time I would speak to my mom, one of the things that I would always ask her was, have you heard from anyone back home? Have you spoken to anyone back home? Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on back home? You see, the reason why I ask those questions is because I'm concerned with a little bit of what happened. So you can say that I'm a patriot of Jamaica because I'm still concerned about things that happened back home. And this was the thing that Nehemiah was doing. Nehemiah was concerned about the people. He was concerned about his people. He wanted to know what was going on in their lives. But not only was he concerned about the people, the second thing that Nehemiah was concerned about, he was concerned about Jerusalem. Nehemiah wanted to know what was happening in Jerusalem. The reason why that was important was because Jerusalem was considered to be the city of God. And remember I said earlier, the temple of the Lord dwelt among the people in Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah was 800 miles away. And besides, he had never visited Jerusalem. So he constantly inquired about the people of God. So what was it that Nehemiah did? How did he demonstrate tremendous leadership? Here is the thing. Nehemiah was about to lead the children of Israel back to building the wall. But the first act of leadership that we're finding about Nehemiah here is he had concern about the people. Here's the thing. We cannot lead people if we don't care about people. We cannot lead people if we're not concerned about people. And one of the things that you see here about Nehemiah is he was concerned about God and he was concerned about people. In other words, Nehemiah had a heart for God and he had a heart for the people. He had a heart for God and he had a heart for the people. I remember when they were arguing with Jesus one time and they wanted to find out from Jesus, what is the two greatest commandments that is there? I know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and we go down to 10 commandments, and Jesus says, I know you guys are interested in learning about commandments, but I want to explain something to you. The commandment is only two. And what are the two commandments? Love God, and the second one is like it. Love others as you love yourself. In other words, Jesus was saying that we as believers, we must be concerned about two things. We must be concerned about who God is, and we must have concern about his people. And so we cannot lead people if we are not concerned about them. You see, a lot of us, we like to give people a whole lot of knowledge about things that we know. We like to give them biblical knowledge, and we like to tell them information about this. But let me explain this to you. People don't care about what you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so if we're going to start emulating some of the leadership principles that we're seeing here from Nehemiah, one of the things that we're going to have to start doing is we're going to have to start being concerned about people. So the walls are broken down, and Nehemiah immediately start thinking, how is the people? What's going on with the people? How are they? Not only was Nehemiah concerned about the people, Nehemiah wanted to find out what was the conditions that the people were in. And so he asked about the people and he asked about Jerusalem. And here was the response that the people gave to Nehemiah. Let's go back to it. Here was the response that they gave to him. Verse 2, it says that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah and with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exiles and also about Jerusalem. Look at verse 3. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. Why are they in great trouble and why are they in disgrace? The reason why, he said here, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burnt with fire. The walls of Jerusalem have been broken down, and its gates have been burnt with fire. So here now, they're beginning to give Nehemiah the condition of the people. And what were the conditions that they gave Nehemiah? They said, number one, the people are in distress. Now, when a person is in distress, it means that they have a complete loss or absence of hope. It means that they have complete loss or absence of hope. And when you don't have any hope, because your houses have been broken down and your villages are now being overtaken by your enemies, it brings that sense of hopelessness. And what begins to happen is you begin to feel a sense of shame. And this is what was happening to the remnants at this time. They were shameful. And the other thing that he said is that they were afflicted. They were afflicted. And the word afflicted there means that they felt defeated. Why did they feel afflicted? And why did they feel defeated? The reason why was because they have broken walls. Broken walls. Well, the question is, what are walls meant for? Why are they there? A wall is a fortification used to protect a city or a town from potential attacks. Now, this may also include protection from weather and wild animals that could cause great harm to the inhabitants of the city. And so here is Jerusalem, who had the walls that were protecting them from the outsiders. It was protecting them from their enemies, and all of a sudden, these walls have been broken down. You know, some of us have walls in our lives that have been broken down. Earlier we said that the one of the things about Jerusalem was that it was the city of God, and it was their place of worship. So one of the things that was protected by the wall was the spiritual lives of the people. So the walls were built to protect the spiritual lives of the people. Now, when those walls have been broken down, guess what begins to happen to their spiritual lives? That become in jeopardy. And as we have seen in our lifetime, in our country, we have been experiencing a lot of things that have been affecting our spiritual lives. And one of the things that we are seeing in our society is that there is people are being antagonistic with God. They don't want to hear about God. God is no longer relevant in our society. And so that is the way that we are living in today's day. But not only is God not relevant, but what is happening is people now have their own versions of morality. You see, truth is no longer a standard. There is no longer right and wrong, but right and wrong is subjective. It totally depends on what I think and what I feel. This may be right for you, but it may not be right for me. And so what we have found is that is that there is no respect for God, there is no respect for right and wrong, and the number one structure that protects, which is the family, you have found now we have a broken down of the family. And so little by little, what we have been finding is that the walls of our spiritual lives have been slowly broken down. To now, man and a woman is no longer important. The family structure is no longer important. And the reason why is because when we as believers stop living and are careless with being obedient to the word of God, what we are doing is we are allowing the enemy to start attacking that wall. And slowly but surely, those walls became crumbling down. And so this was the state that they were in. The walls were broken. Why was the walls broken in the first place? The main reason why the walls were broken was because of sin and disobedience to the word of God. As I said earlier, God consistently warned him, "Be careful to do everything that I have commanded you." Because the day that you stop doing it, there's going to be a terrible repercussion. And so right now, their walls lay in ruin because of disobedience. When we are not obedient to the word of God, what we are doing is making the spiritual walls of our life so weak that when the enemy comes to attack, it's going to be easy for those walls to be broken down. It's going to be easy for those walls to be broken down. So the state of the people of Jerusalem, they were living in insecurity. The walls were broken down. So now they're vulnerable to attacks. So let me ask you this question. What is the condition of the spiritual walls in your life? You see, in order for us to live the way God wants us to live, we not only need to have a heart for the people of God and for God's work, but we also need to have a heart for the condition of the spiritual walls in our lives. You see, when those spiritual walls have broken down, now we're now vulnerable to attacks of the enemy. Listen to what Proverbs 25, verse 28 says. Like a city whose walls are broken down, so is a person who lacks self-control. You see, when you don't develop that personal discipline of studying God's word and applying God's word to your life, what Proverbs here is saying is that you become a person who is out of control. And when you become a person who is out of control, he said it's like a city whose walls are broken down. Now we kind of get an understanding of what was happening here to the children of Israel. Their walls have been broken down. So what is it that is the wall for our spiritual lives? What is that wall? The wall for our spiritual lives is our faith. And it is faith that offers security and assurance for the believers. As a believer, one of the things that offers your faith and security is your faith. Now, how do you get faith? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So it is upon hearing the word of God and applying the word of God to your life, that is the way that you can develop the firmness of your faith, which builds a wall around your spiritual life so that you can avoid the attacks of the enemy. So if your faith is not strong enough, then what you're finding is that you will become vulnerable to these attacks. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It is your faith that leads you into that salvation so that you can have that assurance with God. Now the other thing that shores up that wall is God's power. Now listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So what Peter here is saying is that when you exercise your faith upon the word of God, you are now shielded by God's power. You see that? So now your spiritual life is now protected by God's power. And I love the example that Jesus gives. Jesus says, listen, when you have faith, and I'm paraphrasing here, what you do is you come into Jesus' hand, and Jesus says that, now when you come into my hand, I'm going to put my hand in the hands of the Father. Now, if you can't get through me, which you can't, there is no way that you will be able to get through the Father. So you see here, when you study the Word of God and when you apply the Word of God and when you live your life through faith, what you have done is that now you have built that spiritual wall. And the Bible is saying that it is God's power that's going to hold up that wall. And there is no demon on hell that can break that down. But here's the thing. If you are careless in applying the word of God to your life, then what you are doing is you are weakening that wall and allowing all sorts of attack. So Nehemiah was, he had a heart for the people of God, and he had a heart for God's work. He had a heart for the condition of the people, the fact that their walls have been broken down, and now Nehemiah says, okay, now we need something else. Not only do we need to have a heart for the people of God, not only do we need to know what the spiritual condition of the walls of our lives are, but now if our walls have been broken down, it needs to be rebuilt. It needs to be rebuilt. So how do we rebuild those walls? How do we rebuild the walls of our spiritual lives so we can live the life that God wants us to be, to live? And we're going to read a little bit more in Nehemiah. So verse number 3, he says, they said to me, those who survived the exiles are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates have been burnt with fire. Verse number 4. Look what Nehemiah's response is. This is textbook on leadership. Look what Nehemiah's response is. He said, when I heard of these things, I sat down and wept. When I heard of these things, he says, I sat down and wept. So one of the things that you will find here is that Nehemiah's concern for the people of Israel propelled them into action. You see, it's one thing to hear about the things that are happening with people, and it's another thing for you to take action. A lot of us, we hear about bad news that are happening to people, and we are concerned. But do we just walk away with that concern and say, I'm trusting God for you, I'm believing God for you? Nehemiah was different. He propelled into action. And the first action that he took, he began to weep. He began to have compassion on the people. He began to identify with them, and it broke him down. He began to weep for the people. A lot of us, we hear of tragedies that are happening with people. Sometimes even the tragedies that are happening in our lives. But what is your response upon the knowledge of that? Are we just comfortable hearing about what's happening with people? Or does it make us break? Does it break our heart when we hear of the families that are being destroyed? Does it break our heart when we hear of a brother or a sister who is struggling with an issue in life? Does it break us? That's what it did to Nehemiah. It broke him. He was broken. And the Bible says that he began to weep and he began to mourn. And not only did he weep and mourn, but what else did he do? He began to fast. He said, and he fasted and he prayed before God. You know what Nehemiah did here? He interceded on behalf of the people. He interceded on behalf of the people. He wasn't just concerned with the fact that they're going through this. But he said, I am going to do something about it. So after his weeping and his and he mourned and then he got down and he began to fast and he began to pray for the people of Israel. Look at verse number 5. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandment, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants. Did you see how he's praying here? He's not just saying a prayer today and totally forget about it, and then maybe next week when he remembers about it, he starts praying again. But the Bible here says that Nehemiah begins to pray day and night. And that's what a leader does. When a leader sees what the condition of the people are, he goes down on his knees. I can tell you that a lot of the leadership of this church, they might not have told you, but when they hear of things that are affecting the members of their church, I can guarantee you that they're on their knees on a regular basis. And they're praying and they're interceding between God and you so that you can have a breakthrough. And so that you can overcome whatever it is that is broken in your lives. That's exactly what Nehemiah did. His first action was humility. Last time I was here, I told you there's two things we need to understand about humility. Number one, we need to understand that there is a God. Number two, we need to understand that you ain't him. Nehemiah was broken. And he began to pray. But here's the thing about it. Nehemiah didn't only pray for 1 week or 2 weeks. But as you go on, you're going to find out in chapter 2, Nehemiah was praying and fasting and seeking God's face for 5 months. 5 months. He took the time to meet with God before he did anything else. And oftentimes, when tragedies happen, we want to jump in there and we want to try to fix the issue. And we want to find all sort of people to talk to about the issue. But Nehemiah's first response is not to go to people. His first response was, let me take this to the Lord. Let me take this to the Lord. And that's what he did. He fasted and prayed for over 5 months. And here is the breakdown of his prayer. And I believe that this method of praying is a method that we should emulate in our lives. I'm not saying you have to follow it word for word, but when you look at how he actually addressed God, it's going to help us when we pray. And how did Nehemiah address God in those prayers? The first thing that Nehemiah did was he acknowledged God's faithfulness. You see, Nehemiah didn't walk up into God's presence with a list. He didn't walk up into God's presence and say, God, give me this, fix that. Oftentimes when we go through trials and we go through troubles, the first thing we think about is, God, please help, do this, do that. But Nehemiah, when he went into prayer, the first thing he did is he started acknowledging God's faithfulness. Look what he says. He says, let your ear, verse 6, let your ear be attentive to your servant's eyes to hear your prayers your servant is praying before you day and night. For your people, your servants, the people of Israel. Wait, actually, I missed that. Verse 5. Then I said, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who does what? Who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. You see what was the problem that got them in the place that they were in? They were unfaithful in their commandments. In following the commandments that God set. But Nehemiah here is looking at God's faithfulness. And Nehemiah is saying, okay, God, one of the things that I do know about you is that you are faithful. And you will keep your commandment with those who keep their commandments with you. In other words, when you begin to follow the commands of God, God will always keep his promises concerning his word. God's promises are always sure. You can bet on it. You can bet your life on it. No matter what happens, God will never break his promise. The problem is not God breaks his promise, is we that breaks our promises. And when we break the promises that we have with God, we have left God with no choice. And so we are promise breakers, we're covenant breakers, and we walk into God's presence and we're begging him to do this and to fix this and to fix that, and we realize that it's not being fixed. And part of the reason is because we are not faithful. And so Nehemiah here, he begins to acknowledge the faithfulness of God. He realizes that God keeps his promises no matter what. God always keeps his promises. The second thing Nehemiah did is he acknowledges his sins and the sins of the people. He acknowledges his sins and the sins of the people. Look what verse number 6, the second part of it says. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. You see what Nehemiah did here? Nehemiah took responsibility for why they were in the situation that they were in. You see, a lot of us, when we go through trials and we go through difficulties and we go through tragedies in life, one of the first thing that we try to do is we find someone to blame. We look for whose fault it is. And we always point that finger to whoever did it. But while we're pointing that finger, we totally forget that all those fingers are pointing back to us. But Nehemiah recognized that, and he walked up to God and he said, Hey, Lord, listen, yes, Israel sinned. But not only did Israel sin, but me, I sinned. I'm a part of this just like Israel. They are my people, and I'm a part of this. We did this to you, O God. We failed you. We turned our backs on you. The reason why we're in the predicament that we're in is because they sin. My household sin. And I sin. He took responsibility for why they were in the position that they were in. When was the last time we took responsibility for the things that are happening in our lives? When the spiritual walls of your lives have been broken down, the first person that should get the blame is me. I should not be pointing the finger at nobody else, because it is my responsibility. It is my job. And what Nehemiah here is saying is that, listen, we need to confess our sins before God. Anytime there's a tragedy, start off by acknowledging God's faithfulness. But the second thing that you do is confess your sins before Him. Confess the fact that, Lord, I failed you. I failed you. And without that confession, we will never experience the power of God in rebuilding the walls of our lives. So he acknowledged God's faithfulness. He acknowledges sins and the sins of the people. And the third thing is he did, he reminded God of his promises. He reminded God of his promises. Look at verse 7. He says, we have acted very wickedly toward you. This is still in his confession. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and the laws that you gave your servant Moses. Look at verse 8. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nation. Here is why they were in the position they were in. Nehemiah is repeating this to the Lord. He is saying, Lord, it's our fault why we are in this predicament. It is because we have not obeyed your word. And he says that if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as my dwelling place for my name. You see the promises of God? God promises that even if you're far away, it doesn't matter where you go, I will bring you back into your place. It reminds me of the verse in Proverbs that says, he that conceals a sin, and I'm paraphrasing, will not be forgiven. But he that confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You see here, God has given his promises that if you repent, if you turn away from your sins, the promises are that I'm going to bring you right back into where your home is. It doesn't matter what have caused the destruction in your spiritual life. What God is saying is that when you confess, when you forsake them, I will begin the rebuilding process. And I will begin to rebuild the spiritual walls of your life. That is why he said that in Chronicles. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Pray if they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here is the promise. Then I will hear. I will heal. And I will forgive. So what Nehemiah did is he acknowledged God's promises. And this ought to be regular in our prayers. Whenever we're praying to God, it is important for us to always remind God of his promises. To remind God of the promises that he have made to his people. Because one thing is for sure with God is he will never renege on his promises. We may, but God won't. So Nehemiah acknowledged and reminded God of his promises. And the last thing that Nehemiah did, he sought God's favor. Look what he says in verse number 11. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king. You see, a cupbearer to the king was a very important position. And one of the things that the cupbearer would do, he would taste the wine for the king to make sure that the king wasn't poisoned. So that means that this person must have tremendous trust by the king. The king really trusted this man with his life. After all, this man would take a bullet for him if he had to. He would eat the poison for him if he had to. That was his job, and that was his position. So Nehemiah began to acknowledge God's promises, and now he's saying, God, I'm asking you to grant me favor. You notice how the progression of Nehemiah's prayer? He acknowledged God's faithfulness. He confessed their sins and the sins of his family. He reminded God of his promise. And then Nehemiah sought God's favor. He put his request to the last. He put his request to the last. He sought God's favor. He sought God's favor for courage to face the king. What was interesting about this was that Nehemiah had such a high esteem for God, and he put man in his place. Did you notice when Nehemiah was requesting God's help, what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah said, Lord, I want you to grant me favor, not with this king, but he said, with this man. What Nehemiah did is he downsized this problem. You see, his God was elevated, or he recognized God for being who he really is, but then he also recognized the king for who he really is. When it compares to my God, you are just man. You see how Nehemiah was able to size his problems? And sometimes that's what we have to do. In order to rebuild the broken walls in our lives, we have to look at the things that have caused the problems and start sizing them and put them in the right perspective. That listen, when it comes to God, you are nothing but just this. You are nothing but just man. So you see, when Nehemiah went to God and Nehemiah was asking God for his favor, what Nehemiah was eventually saying is, listen, God, I know you're bigger than this man, because he's just a man. He is nothing compared to who you are. So therefore, that is why I am asking you. I am asking you for this favor, for this request, because it is only you that can make this right. So that's what Nehemiah did. You know what Nehemiah was doing? Nehemiah was building a wall. How did he build that wall? You see, we must have a heart to rebuild the broken walls of our spiritual lives. You see, when we begin to take actions by praying and having a heart for prayer, we are beginning to build the broken walls of our lives. One of the things that prayer does, it causes us to be dependent on God. You see, Nehemiah was dependent on God. Nehemiah didn't walk to the king. Because here's the thing. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it wherever he pleases. So Nehemiah knew enough that I'm not going to go to the wrong person on this one. I'm going to go to you, God. I'm not going to go to the people who cannot help my situation. I'm going to go to you who controls the people who can help my situation. And if we want to start rebuilding the walls in our lives, the first thing we have to learn is we have to learn total dependency on God. The second thing, when we pray, it solidifies our faith. When we pray, it solidifies our faith. Listen to what Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 said. Dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Look what he's saying here. By building yourselves up in your most holy faith and prayer. How do you do that? You build faith through prayer. By totally depending on God. Because when you have come to God and you realize that there is no one else that can do this but you, oh God, then you are fully dependent on Him. And when you begin to do that, here's what you'll be doing. You'll be building a wall. So here's the progression of what Nehemiah did. He walked through God's faithfulness. He accepts responsibility. He lists God's promises. He lay out his desires. And then he sought God's favor. That's how you begin to rebuild the walls of your life. Is there any broken walls right now in your relationships? Is your faith right now being challenged constantly? If so, follow the examples of Nehemiah. Because he was able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days by demonstrating exceptional leadership. He showed that he had a heart for the people and a heart for God. He showed that he had a heart for the condition of the spiritual walls in his lives. And the last thing he did is he began to rebuild the spiritual walls of his life through humility and prayer. As I close, I would like to say this. The walls were also a great divider. The walls were also a great divider. It separated those on the outside from those on the inside. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, one of the things that you will understand is that you will be on the outside of that wall, where you will not be able to enter into God's presence. And what God would require of you is to put your faith and your trust in Him so that he can begin to build a wall, which is an edge of protection around you. So if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just simply indicate by just raising your hand? We would like to lead you in a prayer so that you can come to have faith in Jesus today. So if you're here this morning and you know you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to give you that opportunity today so that God can begin to build a wall of protection around you. So that when the enemy begins to attack, your wall have been fortified by faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. So once again, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus and you would like to do that this morning, would you just simply indicate by raising your hands? Now here's the thing, raising your hands is not going to save you. But what we will do is that we will lead you into a prayer that will help you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it is your confession to Jesus Christ and his word that will begin to save you. So if you're here once again and you have never trusted Jesus Christ and you would like to do so, would you simply just indicate by raising your hands? If you're here this morning and you know that the walls of your spiritual lives have been broken down, I've been coming to church on a regular basis, but if people really understood what was going on in my life, they probably would be ashamed. And as a matter of fact, I am ashamed. God have you here because he wants to rebuild the broken walls of your life. It doesn't matter what you have been through. It doesn't matter what your struggle is. Let God begin to rebuild the broken walls of your life. So with that being said, if you would like for some prayer for God to rebuild those broken walls in your life, would you just indicate by raising your hand? Anyone, don't be ashamed. We all have had moments in our lives where our walls have been broken down, where we have been disobedient to God, where we have not allowed the Word of God to solidify our faith. And because of that, the walls in our lives have been broken. But God wants to rebuild those walls. So if that is you this morning, and you would like for us to pray for you, would you please just indicate by raising your hands? With that being said, I know you're still thinking about this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the next minute. And I want you to run through the process of the walls. I want you to walk through God's faithfulness. Think about your situation, whatever it is you're going through. I want you to take some responsibility for what got you in the situation that you're in. I want you to list God's promises. Lay out your desires. And let's seek God's favor. I'll give you a minute to do that. And then we'll just close off in a word of prayer. Let's just pray. Our Father, we come before you this morning because we know that you are a faithful God. And we know, Lord God, that you have made your promises to your people that you will never break. And your word declares, Lord God, that if we come before you and we humble ourselves and we pray, and if we seek your face, and if we turn from our wicked ways, oh God, you will hear, you will heal, you will forgive. Throughout the scriptures, we have seen, O God, that you have always kept your promises. And you are faithful. And so we thank you, O God, that your faithfulness, Lord God, is what keeps us going. We also come before you and we recognize, Lord God, that there are some things in our lives that have caused the spiritual walls of our lives to be broken down. And so for those things, Lord God, we come before you this morning and we take personal responsibility for our sins. For the sins that we have committed against you, Lord God. It is us that have disobeyed your voice, that have turned away from your word, oh God. We have done that as an individual. We have done that as a city. We have done that as a church, and we have done that as a nation, oh God. And because of that, you have decided to not hear our prayers. And so we come before you and we confess those sins before you today, oh God. We confess those sins before you, Lord God, and we rest.